Tuesday, August 24th, I woke early and started trying to behave like a general, dispatching Helen and one helper for a much-needed clean-up job at the old Sam Johnson house, for the dirt daubers and the spiders take it as their own, and Jean and a helper to wash windows and screens and hose down or rub off front porch walls covered with the dust of a hot summer. There's something about cleaning up that satisfies a deep, undying urge in me, no matter what new fields I move into. Then, with James, I began to look through the newly created storage area out in the hangar, expecting to find the Aegean stables themselves. But lo, James and Mr. Klein, with an assist from Earl Deeth, I believe, had moved in on a 2 or 3 day organizational job. Boxes labeled and inventoried, put neatly on shelves, many copies of inventory being prepared by Earl. It almost begins to make sense. I found a box of old things from Dillman and was hopelessly sidetracked. Took them to sit under the oak tree in the front yard and read letters Lyndon had written me in 1939, 26 years ago. Not in a long time have I felt so rich. Not at a state dinner, not at an inaugural ball. They were wonderful letters. All of them I will keep, probably in the bottommost locked compartment of the archives. But one or two can be used on display. In part of them, he was talking about his work as a young congressman. He'd been in a little over 2 years. He was working on the dams on the lower Colorado. And he used expressions I hear often today. Satisfaction of being able to do something for people that they couldn't do for themselves. It was a fascinating morning, replete with old faded pictures of me in the blue bonnets during university days, aged about 19, or high up in the limbs of an old live oak, or sitting on a limestone cliff next to a pool. Some of them, I think, must have been out at Anderson's Mill, with Charles Ethel Neal and Nell Coggin and lovely Evelyn Campbell and Emily Crow and Jean Lassiter, and boys whom I cannot remember, except one, a fey sort of sweet youngster named Wayne Livergood, who later died somewhere on Corregidor. And then when I was dusty and in shorts, I got word that Liz Odom was bringing some foreign visitors through the ranch with permission of Mr. Kellum, and did I want her to stop by the house, this not from Liz, but from the guard. I said, bring them by for just a moment. Liz came in, laughing and apologetic, convoying a tiny, fragile Vietnamese lady and her husband, Judge Huey of the Supreme Court at Saigon, and another couple. She's working on the Austin Committee of Let's Show Visitors from Afar America. And so she was showing them a working ranch. We had a cup of coffee in the front yard. I thought how extraordinary this must seem to them. Later, Liz said, when I went out of the room for a moment, Judge Huey said, incredible. In our country, she is the Empress. Very informal. I expect that was nice language for what a low-caste way for the wife of a chief of state to behave. But sometimes one has to clean closets. We had a little polite conversation, and then they left. And Mr. Klein and I made one of our tours, hanging pictures, moving things, taking my lovely Mexican chest, expelled from the office by that enormous conference table, down to the guest house, where, though not so much at home, it does at least add charm and flavor. And then late in the afternoon, Richard Myrick came with his watercolor sketches of the proposed little park in Johnson City, which Life magazine plans to give on the occasion of the president's birthday. And because of their interest in the beautification program, which I have helped along a bit by writing the article in Life. The plans are quite simple. The Guthrum hedge screening of the deplorable Quonset hut storage area, junkyard, and the backs of stores ornamented by various classes. Fish, 1961, Softs, 1959, or some such. There are already some rather good live oaks, one with a twin trunk there. A grouping of lacy, yellow-flowered retamas, another of watermelon-red crepe myrtle, and in several places the bright spots of color of the red yucca that bends over gracefully. It'll be especially good against the old limestone jail. Luckily, A.W. joined us at the site. He can do more business faster. I'd talk to him little more than an hour ago in Waco. He'd flown and driven back, and we made plans for Mr. Myrick and A.W. to sit down with the representative of Life, if it could be worked out, Thursday morning. All the civic and legal details and the plans for the presentation. I'd ask Dale and Jewel to join us for dinner around the pool, and Pat with and Mr. Myrick, and we spent the twilight hours riding around the ranch. So much activity. The TV tower is being moved, and the enormous gangling lines that furnish electric power are being put underground. It's the most fantastic operation, the most wonderful improvement. I feel like it's I who am having a birthday, and that's Lyndon's present to me. The cattle pens, too, are being moved up by Dale's house. Grading and fill has taken place between Mr. Klein's workshop and the guest house, and in front of the guest house toward the river and on down to James Davis's. A special strain of Bermuda grass is being sprigged in there. Better, Dale believes, in the native Bermuda, abundant and drought-resistant. The science of grasses is an alluring thing to anybody who loves a ranch, and Dale told me, just as though he were talking about the most beautiful woman in the world, about the 8-foot-tall grass on the right of the runway that is heading up so abundantly and was only planted 6 weeks ago, an African strain, I believe he said. We had pork chops and garden vegetables around the swimming pool, and then an early bedtime. Not an aimless day, and yet not one of great accomplishment, but sort of replenishment to the soul.